Well, thank you for that opening, and I get the feeling I'm supposed to wear sandals today. It might be okay in the Middle East, but not around here, especially this morning. Just before we start, I got one other announcement. Some of you took part last year in the Love Your Neighbor Day in Schumacher. It was a really awesome occasion. It was organized by Lois Windsor at South Parkland Pentecostal, and a lot of people got involved. It was quite a big event. It took place mostly at Schumacher Public School, which is a school that's really quite open for Christian events in Schumacher. I mean, it's really kind of neat. And also at the McIntyre Ballroom. They're going to do it again this year. It's going to be on November 9th. And it's going to be a little bit smaller than last year. But they're still going to do a lot of the things. They're going to have a free giveaway store, kids' carnival, an outerwear giveaway. These type of things, but it's a great opportunity to talk to people about God. Honestly, it's a great opportunity. And anyway, anybody who's really is interested, I'll put an email as well, interested in taking part. It'd be wonderful. I would say we had some brothers and sisters involved last year from BFA, really appreciated by Lois and the organizers. I'll email out and get back to me, and they're going to have a meeting beforehand. And following the this event, they actually are going to organize a Christmas banquet for the people in Schumacher at South Parkland Pentecostal. So it's a real outreach. Schumacher is a community that has a lot of needs, really does. I drive the bus there, and I see a lot of things going in that community. So that's just another announcement. Joseph. That's the answer to the question. Joseph. If anybody didn't get it, I think you better take part in Bible study. Story of Joseph is probably one of the most popular stories in the Old Testament. It's one that's always talked about in things like kids' clubs, Sunday school. I mean, everybody knows the story of Joseph. If you haven't heard the story of Joseph, then obviously you have nothing to do with church at all. But it is. It also was one of the most successful musicals on stage. It was unbelievably successful. It was played a long time in London, New York, Toronto played a long time, featured Donny Osmond as Joseph. In Toronto, Maria Friedman was the narrator, and she's awesome as well. The video came out, Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. With Donny Osmond, Maria Friedman, Richard Attenborough, and Joan Collins in 1999 came out. It was also very popular. I love it. But it does not do a lot of justice to the real story. That's the only problem with it. I mean, it's great entertainment, but it doesn't really tell the true story. I was not aware of it, but Dave and Becky gave me another video by Sight and Sound Theater. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Sight and Sound Theater. It's amazing. It's amazing. And they did one on Joseph. I mean, the production that's on the video was performed live in front of an audience of 2,000 people. They even had sheep, goats, and camels coming up on the stage, actually walking through the audience coming up on the stage. It was an amazing production. Amazing. But the thing about it is that it really emphasized the spiritual aspect of the story of Joseph. And it was just really something. It's available at Harmony House, or they can order it through Harmony House. I can't say this, but Dave and Becky do have a copy of it, and they might lend it to you if you want to see it. Finding our story in God's story is something that can come to life when we look at Joseph's story in the book of Genesis. I was sharing at Breaking Bread this morning that when you put any emphasis or time studying a character in the Bible, you become very close to that character. You know, it's almost like that person almost becomes a friend. I mean, you spend time studying about them, and you see what they're like, you see what their weaknesses are, you see how real they are. You know, apologetics, that's something about the Bible, is that people are too flawed to not be real. And this includes Joseph. Anyways, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would truly just touch my lips with your words, and that you can just open the hearts of everyone here to the message that you want to convey to them. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A football coach once said that losing 5 games in a row is bad enough, but what really frustrates me, is that we keep making the same mistakes over and over. We just aren't learning anything. Wasting the pain of failure happens not just on the field, but in people's lives as well. We can be slow to learn that what causes the most pain is not the initial loss or hardship, but the failure to learn anything in the process. And this is so true. As we get in here, you can see that failure is not the end of the world. Pain is not the end of the world. Loss is not the end of the world. It's quite often the beginning of something. Bill Crowder of Radio Broadcast Ministry said that Joseph learned through extreme difficult circumstances how to overcome. He added, "It is my prayer that by examining his life, that we can learn some important lessons for our own lives, thus finding our story in God's story." I don't know how many of you remember the television set sitcom Happy Days. How many remember it? How many loved it? In one episode, Richie Cunningham was grounded for life by his father Howard for misbehavior. His father asked his son, "Do you know that there is a lesson in this for you?" And Richie's response was priceless. "I figured anything with this much pain had to have a lesson in it somewhere." Let's face it, we do not learn character in times of ease and prosperity. We learn character in times of difficulty. James writes in his epistle, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." James' point is simple. God doesn't waste anything. Everything happens in our lives for a reason, and a great part of that reason is to help us grow in our faith. We've come to the conclusion that living a life without trials is not the best thing for us if we are to grow spiritually and to grow closer to God. I have, in fact, learned how to deal with trial by observing how some of my brothers and sisters here in BFA have handled their own personal trials. And it's true. Seeing what's happened here with people and how they handle these situations has really strengthened me. In this story, Joseph could teach us much about how to deal with the tangled threads of our lives. We look at Joseph when he's 17 years old. We see a boy who, although was blessed by God with 2 dreams which pointed him towards greater future greatness, flaunted them before his family, not realizing that he was not very popular with his brothers. He did not belong to a happy family. It was a very unhappy family. His father loved him and his younger brother Benjamin much more than his other 10 brothers because Jacob loved their mother the most. Their mother. Not as much as the other mother. His father did not really, Jacob did not really live the most godly life and was not the best examples for his sons. Joseph in his youth was indiscriminate, insensitive, and very immature. This resulted in tension and anger with his older half-brothers. He wasn't really ready for the job that God had for him. However, everything that was going to happen to Joseph was the result of God preparing him for the bigger story of his life, and that's leadership. In the story, you hear his brother saying, "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of those cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." Now you have to picture what these cisterns are. They're a deep hole in the ground where they stored water, but the top of the cistern sort of came up to a smaller hole. So even if you fell inside them, you're not going to get out by yourself. Thankfully, one brother, Reuben, intervened on Joseph's behalf and convinced him that they should just throw him into the pit. And his thought was that he could rescue him later on. So what did the brothers do? First of all, they took his coat, which was a symbol of resentment. They cast him into a pit to remove him from their sight. Then they sat down and had a meal with her younger brother in the pit, which is amazing. And in the meal, their evil minds, they thought that they decided that maybe we could profit from their evil deeds by selling them into slavery. The point is here is that Jacob's family was eaten up with hate and resentment, and although Reuben mourned for Joseph, he just totally lacked the courage to do the right thing. The brothers lied to their father, but never escaped from the resulting personal guilt. Jacob, who himself was a deceiver when he stole his brother's birthright, was now deceived himself. What goes around comes around. The irony here is that Joseph was the only person in this drama that was not described in the scripture as being troubled. He was, in fact, exactly where God wanted him to be. Later it says, "Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard." To say that life is filled with trials and temptations is, as sportscaster Howard Cosell used to say, to have a marvelous grasp of the obvious. To realize, however, that these trials often come on the heels of our greatest successes may be to understand the very essence of what makes life so hard. Even though Joseph became the property of Potiphar, he soon became challenged with success and temptations it brings along with it. God was working on Joseph and molding him into maturity from a youth to a man. The most important for the future role of Joseph could play in God's story as a leader. This is where Joseph distinguished himself to Potiphar as a young man of skill and ability. However, these talents were not the key to Joseph's life. The Lord was with Joseph. The fact is that Joseph was not embittered by his circumstances, but was content in the presence of the Lord. And God used that heart of faithfulness and contentment. Potiphar took notice. And this is so true in our lives, is that if we show through hard times and good times that very essence of faith, contentment, and just that type of light in our lives, people notice. They notice it. They can notice it in the workplace. They can notice in other social places where you may be. But people take notice of you when you're different than they are. God used that heart of faithfulness and contentment. Joseph was made the overseer of Potiphar's entire household. This is a Hebrew, an Egyptian land that so influenced Potiphar, who was very senior in the Egyptian government, that he made him an overseer of his entire household. This included supervising the slaves and servants, handling public relations, overseeing the household finances, and being responsible for provisions in the household. That's how much trust Potiphar had in him. All this would become valuable training for the later assignment that God had for him. However, one problem was about to give Joseph a lot of grief. Genesis 39:6 says, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. In other words, he was good-looking and well-built, what women would call a hunk. Potiphar's wife took notice of this. Potiphar's wife was attracted to him physically and offered herself to him. However, Joseph refused her advances because he had a powerful set of convictions. Unlike his father Jacob, or later David, or Samson, or Solomon, who gave in to their lustful desires. Joseph also looked beyond the immediate to the ultimate, recognized the consequences that such sin would have on his relationship with God. You know, for a kid that was pretty immature when he was younger, he still had a lot of attributes that are very admirable. Joseph did not want to hurt his master, Potiphar, who trusted him. He also looked beyond the immediate to the ultimate, recognized the consequences. He was concerned spiritually because he understood that all sin was against God. 2 Timothy 2, Paul says, flee youthful lusts. Flee youthful lusts. Joseph didn't flirt with sin, argue with it, or reason with it, as so many youth and adults are prone to today. He ran away from it as fast as he could, even though this would eventually get him into more trouble with Potiphar. Joseph recognized that he belonged to God, the effect of sin had on others, and that sin is defiance of God, against God. Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, it's funny that they never say Potiphar's wife's name, eh? It's always Potiphar's wife. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you. This reminds you of a certain tree. Because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. I mean, this was a repeated temptation. And apparently Potiphar's wife was a pretty good-looking chick. It is interesting that this is the second time that a coat was used to lie against him. In his fleeing away from Potiphar's wife, he left his coat. It is also interesting that Egyptian law would have had Joseph put to probably a most horrible death. But Potiphar, being the captain of the guards, and probably in charge of prisons as well, only had him jailed. It was possible that Potiphar didn't really believe his wife, but still had to save face. The Lord was with Joseph. So again, he was in captivity. Psalm 105:18 says that they hurt his feet with fetters and he was laid in irons. God still was with him. And again, Joseph rose in prison to a position of leadership. God gave him favor with his jailer. And he entrusted Joseph with everything under authority. Isn't this amazing? He goes to jail and the jailer sees something in Joseph that he liked and makes him in charge. He charged everything. He was in charge of the prisoners. He was in charge of supplies. He was in charge of finances in the prison. He was given that responsibility. Joseph is still learning the lesson of leadership. One of the lessons that God was teaching was the lesson of patience. God's plan for Joseph included a tour of duty in an Egyptian prison. I wouldn't want to be in one of those. I mean, today I wouldn't want to be in an Egyptian prison. Two of Pharaoh's officials, what the Bible says is butler, which he was also, in some versions, says the cupbearer, and his baker, had offended him and were thrown into prison. It is interesting that it was the captain of the guard, Potiphar, who entrusted these men with Joseph. There's no such thing as coincidence. God is in control of our lives. Nothing occurs for a purpose. I thoroughly believe that. There is no such thing as coincidence in our lives. Everything that we go through is there because God wants it to be there. In spite of his own difficulties and hardship, Joseph had become sensitive to others. It's another form of maturity he's going through. It's a quality he lacked when he was at home with his family. He recognized the hurt and distress of these two men. Joseph didn't let his circumstances disrupt his relationship with God, and he didn't allow his own hurt to prevent him from caring about the hurt of others. This is something that's so important as Christians for ourselves. Because no matter what we're going through, no matter how much we want to feel sorry for ourselves, we still have to be open to others around us and their needs. Our own lives are also filled with disappointment and loss. But we can become overcomers by becoming less self-absorbed and self-centered. Instead of wasting our energy in self-pity, we can invest our time in meeting the needs of others. I think a good example is the Bible study that we just finished, which is based on a book called More Than Conquerors. Simon Gilliba, who did ministry in Burundi, in Rwanda. When we first started off, was doing a street ministry with street youth in that place. First time he approached youth in the street, they attacked him, and he had to run. He had to run for his life. These kids were going to do serious harm to him. When he got back to his rooms, he spent a couple of days there. He was just totally shaken up. And he said, quite frankly, I was feeling sorry for myself. I was questioning my ministry. I was doing all this. When one of the local pastors came up to him and said, enough with the pity party. You got work to do. Get out there. And isn't that what we have to do? There's no room for pity party in our lives. There's just too much out there that we need to do. Joseph interpreted the dreams of these two men. One was positive. The other was not so positive. It was kind of tragic. And within 2 days, both dreams were fulfilled as Joseph had interpreted them. But unlike his youth, when he lorded his dreams over his brothers, the difference here is that Joseph credited God for his abilities. Joseph's caring was rewarded with insensitivity, and the cupbearer, instead of telling Pharaoh about Joseph, forgot about him, and Joseph remained in prison for 2 more years. It has been said that a man is not a hero because he is braver, but because he is braver longer. So Joseph has now overcome treachery with his brothers, temptation with Potiphar's wife, and now disappointment by Pharaoh's cupbearer, who he helped. However, he's matured, and after 13 years, God is ready to use him for his purpose. 13 years it took for God to prepare him for what he wants him to do. Dreams seem to come to Joseph in prayers. His own two dreams, the two dreams of Pharaoh's servants, and now Pharaoh's two dreams. Pharaoh is troubled by two dreams that were beyond his understanding and the understanding of his wise men and magicians. Today, there is a great spiritual hunger. Into the vacuum of spiritual truth come cultists, false teachers, and false spiritual leaders who find that people's spiritual hunger make them easy prey for deception. And this is going on every day here in this country. I was thinking of an example when I was Thanksgiving. I was going through a bit of a low period about loss of Sally because it was our anniversary. And on Facebook, this friend of mine from our acquaintance, she was a friend from Cochrane, she sends a message that says, "I am glad that you have peace derived from your beautiful spiritual dedication, sending you much love and light." It bothered me. Because this woman is into Wicca. And I knew that the spiritual dedication means something else to her, and that this love and light means something different. And it really bothered me. It hurt me because I had spent a lot of time talking to this woman. Her office is right next to where I used to work in Cochrane. And I used to talk to her about God. But she fell into deception. Into some feel-good type of religion. Until we're willing to accept the authority of God's truth, we will not have the answers we need for the things that trouble us. Pharaoh's cupbearer finally remembered Joseph, and Joseph was cleaned up and brought to him. So we have three sets of dreams. Dreams of dominion over his brothers and his father Jacob. Dreams of the butler and baker. And now Pharaoh's dreams of grain and cows. This is amazing how these dreams fit together. The second pair of dreams put Joseph in contact with the third set of dreams. And the third set of dreams fulfilled the first set of dreams. All God's plan. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And in doing so, also gave glory to his God as the one who enabled him to do this. This is pretty bold. Joseph also boldly challenged Pharaoh to see God's purpose and to plan accordingly. Pharaoh then made a decision that would change the ancient world. He appointed Joseph to oversee the food supplies of all Egypt. Why would he choose a Hebrew to do this important job? He saw in Joseph the single most important characteristic of a true leader. He was a man in whom is the Spirit of God. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you," now this is it, "since God has made this all known to you," Pharaoh was not a believer in the one God. But he said that, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you." This is recognition by the leader of a nation that was not a nation that followed God. "You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater to you than you." He was making him basically just a little bit under himself. In this country, a Hebrew. It's awesome. The qualification of a true leader The qualification for true leader is not merely physical. They are spiritual. It is not just about talent or skill, but about character in our relationship with God. They deal with knowing God, not with being great. Pharaoh saw these qualities in Joseph. Much happened in the 7 years after Pharaoh made Joseph his prime minister. He was, in fact, the second most powerful man on the earth. He had absolute control over the destinies of millions of people, including his brothers, who originally sent him to Egypt in slavery. Joseph's plan worked out perfectly. Famine had set in the world, and now the world was coming to Egypt for food. And as God planned, the wheels were now in motion for Joseph's reunion with his family. And upon meeting him, Joseph sensed that his brothers had changed. But for the sake of his younger brother Benjamin, he had to make sure. He had covertly questioned them to find out how Benjamin and Jacob were still. He had not revealed to himself who he was. He then sent them back to Canaan to bring Benjamin to him. Upon the return, he had a banquet that he had set up for them, and he gave Benjamin purposely 5 more times the food than the rest. And to his surprise, Benjamin's half-brothers did not resent it. Then he tested them to see if they would abandon Benjamin, like they did himself, by falsely accusing Benjamin of stealing his cup. And although Judah, who was the one that led the plans to sell Joseph to the Midianites, he now is willing to sacrifice himself to protect Benjamin from becoming a slave. He is willing to replace himself for Benjamin. A little parallel there too, eh? Although Judah led the plans to sell Joseph to the Midianites, he now was willing to sacrifice himself. As with Joseph, they also had changed for the better. God had been working on Joseph's brothers at the same time he was working on him. Joseph's final words to his brothers were, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." So there was a plan. And it's just amazing how it all came together. Joseph had embraced the living God and trusted him completely. The good news in the end is Joseph arranged for his family to move everything they owned to Goshen and realized that Goshen was prime real estate in Egypt. This was become the next step in God's plan for the return of the Israelites to the promised land. It is only by complete confidence in the goodness and plan of God that we can overcome the pains and heartaches and mistreatments of our lives. The things that could destroy us can be the building blocks on our journey of faith as we look for the hand of God in all circumstances in our life. John said, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." If you have never confessed your sin and trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, life can be totally confusing. But the one who died for our sins and gave himself for our failures can bring righteousness with God, forgiveness of sin, and a new sense of wholeness and purpose for our lives. Christ came into the world because he loves us. That love can bring the end to the emptiness or bitterness or sinfulness that racks our lives. Our story is this: if we accept by faith the gift of eternal life and personal forgiveness that Jesus offers us, then our lives, like Joseph's, will change dramatically. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As with Joseph and his family, God also can dramatically change our lives. God's story and our story will continue next Sunday. Amen. Father, we just do thank you for Joseph's story, and we just do thank you for the many ways that this story can help us in dealing with the failures and troubles, the hurt in our lives. Help us, Lord, to take Joseph's story and apply it to our own lives, that we can become much more satisfied in knowledge that, as with Joseph, you are always with us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.